week, Pastor Chris introed his new series. And I'm tying right into it. And I'm also, I forgot it, but how many of you have picked up the summer reading book? This is accountability time. How many of you have picked up the summer reading book? Okay. Oh, great. I just finished it. And I'm going to read it again. And I'm going to make sure that that book is a reread every year. You're going to want to read this book. It's next to the Bible, I would say, this in this time of my life, as a minister, as a, just a disciple of Jesus Christ, right here are some most practical ways and how to live it out, how to love God, how to follow him, and those types of things. And we all want to do better at that, right? We all want to be more like Jesus. We all want to be closer to him and know him well. I'm going to tie part of that in, but you're going to have to get the book. So I'm not telling you everything. The name of the series is Towering Lives, Terrifically Lived. Towering Lives, Terrifically Lived. And not just they get terrifically lived, not in just easy, great, you know, great times, but especially in the times of conflict, especially in the tough times. And he started with a question. He posed a question. He said, do you ever feel like you're living below your potential? Do you ever feel like, I know I'm better than this. I know I'm better than this. One of the phrases, I'm 39 years old, I'll be 40. On the 40th day of my sabbatical, for all you spiritual people, I don't know what that is. But if you let me know, that would be great so I can prepare. So my mom, I don't know how many times I heard her say, I taught him better than that. I raised him better than that. And then as I went to college and came back, I raised you better than that. I taught you better than that. That phrase is always there, right? And I think that was God's way of, you know, getting his voice to me. But we take it and we twist that, don't we? And we condemn ourselves. Man, I should be better than that. Man, I should be living up to this potential. But the reason that is because God has actually called us to that. We saw in Jeremiah, this is the book that Pastor Chris is going to walk us through. Pastor Isaiah is going to walk us through these next few months. And he's liking it. This is how to live in those tough, critical times. Jeremiah was a pro at doing that. In the world's eyes, he was unsuccessful. The guy was horrible at his job. He was a prophet. He was sent to send the word of God to the people of Israel, and they ignored him. They persecuted him. They made fun of him. Jeremiah saw his other prophets persecuted, done away with, yet he remained faithful and continued on. And the verse that Pastor Chris first started off with, it was a very, very familiar verse. One of my favorites, I think all of our favorites as a follower of Christ. And if you're new to the Word of God and what it says, this is one to get in your heart. Jeremiah 1:5 says this, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you, or I set you apart for a special purpose for me to live and do. And he says to Jeremiah, I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Honestly, our call, when you boil it down, is the exact same. Our call is to remain close to God and then go to people with the message that he has given us to declare. We all have that calling. And so we're all called. He's known each one of us. He's valued each one of us from before we were even formed. In our mother's womb that told you, I taught you better than that. He knew us, formed us, valued us, and he put within us a special and complete calling to live out. The other verse that Pastor Chris, I'm just doing a little recap. How many of you were actually here last week? I'm not going to sing again, don't worry. Okay, great. That helps me in just how far to go on the recap. But in Jeremiah 13, that was the kind of the base that he came from. Verse 5. You have not gone up into the breaches or built up a wall for the house of Israel. Oops, that's Ezekiel. Sorry about that. He says this. He says, listen, you've been born to run with the horses. But if you can't keep up with the men in the trenches, how can we do this? And the challenge went out to all of us last week. Don't quit. A lot of us are injured. A lot of us are hurt in this spiritual and natural life. And there's hurts and wounds, there's injuries, there's just weighted down and tiredness. And we're at this point of just, you know what? I just give up. Forget it. And Pastor Chris came with the word. The Lord spoke through him of saying, don't quit. Don't give up. If you need to do anything, just change lanes. You've been born. You were born to run with the horses. You were born to keep up with this. You were made with this calling. God gave it to you. He valued it and said, let's do this. And he empowered you to do so. Don't quit. Some of you left. You felt super empowered. You're like, dude, that is me. I was ready to lay it down. I talked to a few of you. I was just so ready to lay it down. But then that word came directly, Lord, to my heart. I got to keep going. Some were encouraged. But then we're like, wait, you leave the building. You're like, whoa, hold on. He didn't tell us how. I'm ready to run, but I don't know how to do it. What am I supposed to do? How do I pick myself up? How do I not quit? How do I change lanes? What is it? And then some of you are like, yeah, that'd be awesome. But I am just too flipping tired. I am done. I've pulled my hamstring. My spiritual hamstring, whatever. I'm injured beyond repair. No trainer, no cold bath is going to do this. I'm done. And so today, what I want to do is just hopefully, I feel like the Lord just wants to shed a little light on why that is. Why is it that we quit? We know this, but maybe be reminded. Maybe be brought to light in a new way of why it is we quit, why it is that we get injured, why it is that we hurt the way we do, why it is that we just don't want to run anymore. What causes the fatigue, the injuries that even make us unable to run? I'm going to go to Jeremiah chapter 17, if you have your Bibles. Because Jeremiah gives us, he points to the problem right off the bat. If you want to boil it all down, which I like to do, I'm not a details guy. You'll know that soon if you don't already. He says this, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron. With a point of diamond, it is engraved in the tablet of their heart. And I'm going to stop right there. The problem is not with your hamstring. Problem is not with the course you're running. Problem is not with your coach. Problem is not with your shoes. It's not with your lungs. You need a new heart. We need a new heart. I need a new heart. I'm not just preaching to you today. I'm receiving this word as well. We need a new heart. The good thing is that God is currently in the business of renewing your heart. His love for you can transform problems created by your sin. That's where the quitting, the desire to quit, the injuries, the fatigue come, is from sin. Undealt with sin. Just like Jeremiah was trying to tell the people of Israel. Turn, repent, stop doing those things so that you can run the way you were made to run. You can be assured of a new heart by repenting of your sins, loving God, turning to him, and like we just sang, trusting God, looking to God, all those things to save us. And just like he did for his children, and he did for you maybe at one time, he's there to do it again. He's in the business of renewing our hearts in every moment that we turn to him. So where do we start? There's a lot of signs, a lot of sins, right? Like, well, what sin am I got on my back or in my shoes or what is it? Again, there are many areas of sin, but there's one that Jeremiah points to that I want to highlight. Down in verse 5 of chapter 17, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. That word cursed means miserable. It means sitting in Luhai gym and 90 degrees, right? You know what miserable, we all know what miserable is, don't we? We know what miserable is when you're up late at night worrying about your kids' health or where they are, if they're going to come home or whatever it is that, dear God, you guys are telling me you lose sleep for, way different than when they're young like I have. But we know what miserable is, and this is what God says to them. You're miserable. You're weighted down. You're not running the way that you were made to run because you're trusting in man, whether it be yourself or be another person. It goes on to say, is flesh and makes flesh his strength. I learned this probably back in middle school, but relearned it again this week preparing for today. Do you know how many skin cells you lose in an hour? I know probably you all do, don't you? Anywhere from 30,000 to 40,000 skin cells an hour jump off your body. And your body has like 1.6 billion or something like that. Crazy amount. And God is saying, you put your trust and hope in something that is consistently dying in that manner. There's no strength in it. There's no fortification. There's no foundation to it. Stop. Because it's making you miserable. Verse 6, he is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salted land. You ever seen the tumbleweeds? It's one thing. I think my life is that way. My grandma had so many terms for me, and one was a tumbleweed. The others I can't repeat in church. She's a very godly woman, but there's a certain way to get the point across with her. A tumbleweed was one of them. Blowing whichever way, all dried up, and just whatever hit me, that's the direction I went. I saw a lot of great things, but I never was fully planted and prospered into that which God had me when I was young. She felt, you know. And this here, though, is saying a bush that dwells. Scenery changes as a tumbleweed, right? But when you set up camp in a place that's dry, unwatered, and empty, it's the same thing every day. No new life. No change of scenery. The breeze may blow you a little bit. That's about it. When we put our hope and our trust in anything but God, we cause ourselves to be miserable. God causes us to be miserable. So in his great infinite mercy, we will turn to him, trust him, stop relying on that which is dead, and rely upon the true life of Jesus Christ. So he says this, that's the path of those miserable, cursed, dried up, uninhabited land, no life, no refreshment, but this is the life on the other side. Blessed is the man. And that's completed everything. Our entire being is the man who trusts in the Lord. Whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water. Here's another great verse to put in the back pocket. Get in your heart. It also comes from Psalm 1 that David says something similar. He's like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. And it does not fear when the heat comes. For its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought. For it does not cease to bear fruit. Not only does the man or woman of God who trusts in the Lord, who puts their faith and hope in him and says, God is my strength and lives in that manner, are they able to go through the drought. They're able to be in the uninhabited land and not fret and not be worried. They're able to keep running when it's so stinking hard and I'm hurt and I just want to lay down. The man or the woman that trusts in the Lord is blessed to be able to keep going. And not only that, not only for ourselves, but for those around. There's enough for others to gain and glean from. It's not fruit just for our own life, but for the fruit of others. That God does that, that he blessed us. When he first told Abraham, he said, I am blessed about, you know, his children to be. I am blessing you that you may become a blessing. That's the reason why God created us. And that's why God blesses us. He created us to bless us by knowing him first and then to be a blessing, letting others know the same. So we have the main area of sin that weighs us down, makes us miserable, keeps us in that place of I quit, I don't want to run anymore. And that's trusting in anyone, anything else than God, our own flesh, another man, another person. Our trust has to be put in Christ. The other part that I read before that was the part about the heart, right? And this is why we need a new heart. This is why the lungs in a new situation or a new job or a new life and love or whatever is not the answer, but a new heart is the answer. This is what it says in verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things. The message of today, it's been a message for years, right? It's been in our world forever, but it seems more today than ever. Follow your heart. Follow your heart. No, do what your heart tells you to do. How many times has that heart led you astray? How many times have you gone, oh yeah, this is going to be good. This is what I need because I feel it deep in my bones. This is it. And you get it. It's unsatisfying. It's tiring. It hurts. It might be another person. It might be another drug. It might be just another thing. Whatever it is, it's not God transforming your heart. The heart is deceitful above all things. That's why we're told in Proverbs, guard your heart above all things. Because above all things, that thing is deceitful and will take you down the wrong path unless it's transformed and turned into a new heart, the heart of God. So how do we get in line? And how do we position ourselves to get this new heart? How do we get in that place where I take this old heart of mine and God transforms it into something new, and I run again with the horses. I run the way God has called me. How do I do that? Number one, you repent. Whatever that sin is, God, I'm sorry I put my trust in whatever it is. I now put my trust in you. And when that situation comes up again, God, I put my trust in you. God, I put my trust over and over and over and allow the Lord to begin renewing your heart, breathing fresh air into your lungs to continue running the call that he's called you to. Number one, repent. That's the change. That's the number one change lane. Pastor Chris talked last week about, you know, in track and racing, you have the lanes, right? You have heats, you know, and the slower runners start in the first heats. Was I correct? Somebody can correct me. So you have heats, but then you have lanes, right? So the outer lanes are left for the slower, and then the faster runners get the inside lanes. And the urge last week was, listen, maybe you're slowing down a bit, and you're on this outside lane, you're in a different heat. Man, bump up the heat and change lanes. The first lane, or the first way to change and get in a new lane is repent. Man, I shouldn't be in this lane. I knew it. I knew I shouldn't be in this lane. Here I am. God, I'm sorry. Repent, number one. Number two, get the summer reading book. It offers all three biblically sound principles. Have a good day. Seriously. Yeah, y'all like, yeah, we're done. Seriously. There are three ways that I believe the Lord is bringing to Grace Church. I don't think this is just a nice book to read, y'all. Sorry, I just heard myself. This isn't just a nice book to read. I believe, and I would say Pastor Chris believes, I would say our elder board would believe, this is somewhat of a word of God coming to Grace Church. This is how to position ourselves to get that new heart that many of us are desperately needing. And I'm not going to tell you what they are. I'm going to ask you to pick up the book. And I'm going to ask you to engage in the reading. I'm going to ask you to engage in this and see. Test me and see. Not the Lord. Go and see if that book lines up with this. And don't just read it. Put it to practice. That's the only way. You can read all you know. You can read all you want about changing tires or building a new engine. But if you don't get your hands dirty in it and try it and do it and apply it and make mistakes and but keep going, nothing happens. That engine doesn't change on itself, and you won't either. You've got to work alongside God, and these three steps will help you work alongside God for a transformed new heart to help lead you, to help strengthen you and guide you, keep you from quitting the race. I'm going to ask Kevin and the band go ahead and come on back up. Listen, God would continue for years, and he still does, right? To lead his people into a new future and a new hope by transforming their hearts into hearts in love and trust in God. And he wants to do it again today. He wants to transform your broken, tired, weary, injured, want to give up heart, if that's you. If that's not you, he wants to continue. It's not a work that just, oh, I'm transformed, I'm done. It continues. And he wants to infuse, because many of us sit here going, actually, I feel like I'm doing really good. Quit yelling at me. But I want to keep it. I don't want to lose it. Again, posture yourself. Grab the book. We don't get anything from the book except a unified heart loving God, which is the greatest thing. So the money doesn't matter. I think it's $10. I shouldn't say that, right, Laura? Sorry. I was getting in trouble for that and get her in trouble. But inside there, you'll find those three keys. Practice those. Keep the life infused. Keep the calling going. Keep running. Position yourselves. Right now, what you can do is you can search your heart. It said in here in verse, what was it, 10, right after, you know, the heart above all things is deceitful. It says, I am the Lord who searches your heart and your mind. Let him search it. Let him in there. You were made to run. You were made to keep going. You were not made to quit. He values you. He values what he put inside of you. He values where he put you. Take hold. Let him do it again. Let him transform your heart. See what there is that you need to lay off as a repentance of sin and pick up trust in God.